This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. Will the Republican Party hold on to their majority in the U.S. Senate? We're talking with Vox's Ella Nilsson about some of the closest, most interesting, most pivotal Senate races to pay attention to this election season. Ella, let's talk a little bit more about Susan Collins. She pretty easily has won re-election in past years. She's being challenged this year by a woman named Sarah Gideon. She's Speaker of the Maine House. She has been described, she meaning Susan Collins, as one of the most bipartisan members of Congress. Is she an endangered species?
I think she is. I mean, I think that moderate Republicans in particular have kind of been a dying breed even well before the 2020 election. I actually spoke for a piece that I wrote about Senator Collins' election this year. I spoke to the chief of staff of her former fellow moderate Republican Senator Olympia Snowe, who is now retired from Congress. And, you know, Senator Snowe's former chief of staff basically said, you know, even back in maybe the mid-2000s, moderate Republican senators used to joke that, you know, the so-called mod squad was so small that they could have their weekly meetings in a phone booth. And that gives you some idea of, you know, this is sort of a longer term trend that has been happening well before Trump was even kind of a blip on anybody's radar. And I think that Trump certainly has hastened that, because we're seeing in so many states, even in states that are more conservative, I would say, than Maine, you know, political polarization, I think, is really impacting how people are voting this year. And I do think...
No,
that's okay. I do think, you know, that even though Collins is sort of trying to lean in on, especially, you know, her moderate image, she's not saying whether or not she's going to vote for Trump. And she is trying to sort of focus on her senior position on appropriations and all the money she's brought back to the state. I think that a lot of people are looking at the bigger picture politically and really want to send a message to Republicans this year.
I mean, she seems caught between Trump supporters and Trump critics, but she did vote to acquit Donald Trump when it came to impeachment, and she confirmed Brett Kavanaugh, voted to confirm Brett Kavanaugh. Do you think that those two votes on her part hurt her?
Absolutely. I think that there are a lot of people who were certainly galvanized by her vote on Kavanaugh. I mean, there was a fund that was created well before Sarah Gideon was the Democratic nominee, a $3 million, $4 million fund just to give to whoever the Democratic nominee was to try to aid them in beating Collins. And so I think there are a lot of people that I spoke to, you know, who voted for Collins in the past, liked her moderate image, liked the fact that she was bipartisan, but saw her votes as trending to be more conservative under the Trump era, and just really were upset and didn't trust her anymore.
And as you wrote, she's the only Republican from New England, which I think tells us a lot. Let me shift gears. You had mentioned Colorado. Let's move on to Arizona. We've got Senator Martha McSally. Now, she was appointed to fill the seat of the late John McCain in 2018, and she's being challenged by Mark Kelly. He's an astronaut. He also happens to be the husband of Gabrielle Giffords. Where does that race stand?
That race is another really tight race, I think, that is trending in a way that has Republicans worried. It seems like Kelly has been leading in the polls for quite some time. I do think that his margin has narrowed a little bit. Some attacks by McSally seem to be, you know, having an effect, but the question is whether they'll have enough of an effect to sort of guarantee the race for her. I do think it's worth noting that McSally actually lost the 2018 Senate race to Democrat Kyrsten Sinema. That was an extremely close race, you know, showing that formerly Republican Arizona is becoming much more of a swing state. But she was appointed to fill John McCain's seat after he died. And, you know, I think that McSally has struggled for a while with her favorability ratings. People seem to not like her very much. And I think that is worrisome for her.
Why don't they like her?
Well, I think that they're, again, Trump is a bit of an issue. McCain and Jeff Flake, another former Republican from Arizona who retired, I think both kind of had an image as Republicans who certainly might have been conservative, but also didn't necessarily stick with Trump with everything. They sort of had notable moments where they broke from the Republican Party and broke from Trump. McSally has shown herself to be a Trump loyalist. And I do think that there are a significant number of Arizona Republicans who, even though they're Republicans, might not be big fans of the president.
Well, let's go down to Alabama. You've got Democratic Senator Doug Jones. He's in trouble. Now, he had this surprise win in 2017 against Roy Moore. What's happening in Alabama?
Yeah, well, Alabama is just fundamentally a very Southern conservative, Trump-loving state. It's where Trump enjoys his highest net approval rating. Out of the entire country, basically. And so it's just fundamentally really difficult political terrain for any Democrat. And I do think, you know, I covered this race a few weeks ago. You know, Jones's campaign will tell you that they think that the race, they certainly concede that they are the underdogs in the race, but they do think that the race is closer than public polling suggests. And they do think that even though Trump certainly is still well-liked in the state, that his approval rating isn't as solid as it was in 2016. And the other thing that both Democrats and Republican operatives told me when I was reporting on this race is that Jones's Republican opponent, a former football coach named Tommy Tuberville, isn't really running much of a campaign at all. I think that his plan is to just be the Republican who is, embracing Trump and hoping that will power him to a win. But he really is not doing a lot of campaigning. He's running advertising. He has less money than Jones. So, you know, certainly Jones is the underdog in this race, but I think that his team is going to give it everything they've got.
And Tuberville beat Jeff Sessions in the GOP primary, correct?
He did, yes. And that certainly, the GOP primary certainly was sort of a loyalty contest to Trump. And because Sessions, you know, was Trump's former attorney general, who the president had some not nice things to say about in regards to the Russia investigation, it sort of became, you know, Tuberville winning the loyalty contest to Trump.
Kansas. Now, you wrote that a Democrat has not won a Senate race in Kansas since 1932, and now it is an open seat. We've got State Senator Barbara Beaulieu, I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly,
yes,
and Republican Representative Roger Marshall. What is at the heart of this race?
Kansas is such a fascinating state this year, and I think that what's going on is a combination of factors in the state and also national political factors that we're seeing everywhere. And the factors in the state, Kansas is obviously a very Republican state, Midwestern, seemingly pretty red, but everyone that I have spoken to has basically said there are essentially two different Republican parties in Kansas. There are moderate Republicans and conservative Republicans. And then obviously, you know, a lesser number of Democrats as well. And there are a lot of things that happened in the state. I mean, in 2012 and 2013, former Republican Governor Sam Brownback passed a pretty dramatic tax cut that really meant that the state's public schools took a hit in terms of, you know, less funding for schools, bigger class sizes. And I think that things that were going on in the state with the tax cuts and the fallout from that really galvanized a lot of people in Kansas who weren't political before, you know, certainly like parents of students whose schools were changing, to take action and to sort of speak out at the state level, and just kind of prompted a lot of kind of organic grassroots organizing in the state for state issues. Then you have 2016 happening, and a lot of people sort of characterized it to me as Trump almost sort of following Kansas's lead, you know, with the Republican GOP tax cuts passed in 2017 at the federal level. So I think that what you're seeing is, again, you know, moderate Republicans, especially college educated moderate Republicans who might live in suburbs outside of Kansas City or Topeka, are starting to, you know, speak out and also maybe change their votes. And Beaulieu used to be a Republican state senator. She switched parties in 2018. So she's one of the people that she's essentially trying to bring over to the Democratic side. I think it's going to be very interesting. And the other thing that's worth noting is that Trump doesn't have as high of an approval rating in Kansas as states like Alabama or Kentucky or West Virginia. So, you know, I think that there are a lot of people in the state that are sort of turned off by his general mannerisms and sort of the chaos of his administration. And that is making Republicans, you know, kind of worried about a state that should be very easy for them to retain hold of.
Let me toss one more state on the table for discussion. This is North Carolina. You've got Tom Tillis. He was elected in 2014. His challenger is Cal Cunningham, who was recently found out to be having an affair. Tom Tillis also, correct me if I'm incorrect here, did he test positive for coronavirus?
He did. Yes.
He did, tested positive for coronavirus. So, boy, that's everything all sort of wrapped up into one. Where does that stand?
Yeah, North Carolina is another, you know, very close swing state that, you know, it's going to be tight both in the presidential and the Senate race. You know, I think that, you know, Cal Cunningham is a very middle of the road Democrat. He has been running on issues like expanding Medicaid in North Carolina because the state is one that still has not expanded Medicaid. He's running on, you know, anti-corruption, passing an anti-corruption bill kind of similar to a House bill that was passed in 2019. And certainly, you know, the last couple of weeks, the race has been jolted a little bit by these texts that leaked between Cunningham and a woman who is not his wife. And Tillis certainly has pounced on that as something, you know, to try to influence the race. But interestingly, there has been some public polling released since the news of that affair broke. And actually, Cunningham's numbers appear to be going up, at least in the public polling.
Fascinating. Well, that'll make it an even more interesting race to watch.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I actually was talking to a voter in North Carolina yesterday, and she's a Democrat, and she had already voted for Cunningham, and she basically said, "Look, you know, sure, there might be these allegations of adultery, but listen, we have an adulterer in the White House, and I care way more about that than I do about anything with Cunningham."
Well, that's fascinating. Now, we're 3 weeks out, and of course, we're not going to know a lot of results on election night itself. But I wonder, Ella, I mean, is there any way to predict whether the Republicans can hold on to the Senate or whether the Democrats can actually make inroads and take the Senate for themselves?
I think right now, all of the indicators that we have, and that's, you know, that's public polling, fundraising numbers, Democrats have really been, you know, you mentioned Jamie Harrison's fundraising. Yeah. I think a lot of other Democratic candidates, maybe not to the degree that he is, but a lot of people have been raising, you know, $20 million, $15 million, even in
supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
In places like Alaska, I think that the independent candidate who's running, you know, who will essentially caucus with Democrats, raised something like $9 million. It's really kind of eye-popping sums that we're seeing. So right now, everything points to it's going to be very close. It's going to be very tight in a lot of these states. But right now, I think a lot of folks think that Democrats have a slight advantage to take the Senate. But we are still a few weeks out. Things could change. It's a very fluid, political year.
Well, I forgot the most important state of all, which would be Kentucky. And, of course, Mitch McConnell is being challenged by Amy McGrath. He's been, I think, 36 years in the U.S. Senate. He is, of course, the majority leader. Is he in trouble?
I think that McConnell is not necessarily in as much trouble as a lot of, the members of his caucus. I think that, McGrath certainly has fundraised a ton, and more really eye-popping sums, which I think is kind of a direct reflection of how hated McConnell is just by Democrats around the country. But Kentucky is again, sort of like Alabama. It's a very difficult state because Trump's approval ratings are still fairly good there. And that's why we've seen McConnell embrace Trump and work with him so closely as Senate Majority Leader. He knows that people in his state still like Trump, and he's definitely, pandering to that base.
What's it like for you to cover the Senate races this year?
I mean, there's been so many to cover. I had started out thinking, we were going to have maybe five interesting ones to cover. And right now, I think we have about 15. So that shows you just kind of what an unusual year it is. And it's definitely an exciting year to be a political reporter and cover all of these.
And do you have plans for election? I'm calling it now election week because I just feel like, let's be honest here. It's going to take time to get results. Are you ready for election week?
I think so. I am, obviously we're all going to be watching the presidential results. But, the thing that I have really, that we've really been striving to do in our Senate coverage is remind people that, if Democrats can't flip the Senate, even if Joe Biden wins the White House, they are still going to have a really difficult time at passing, any sort of progressive legislation that they want to get through. The Senate is a very important thing to watch this year. And so there are going to be a lot of states to watch, but I will be watching all of them.
Well, that's why we called you up, why we wanted to talk to you, Ellen Nelson. Thanks so much for joining us today in Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. She's a reporter for Vox, covering Congress and the 2020 election, talking about some of the most interesting and pivotal Senate races to watch. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times to find out more about the program. And wherever you get your podcasts, you can also get a podcast of Radio Times. Diana Martinez, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Kelsey Hansen. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Thank you so much for joining us.